Welcome to The Other Side of Potential podcast, hosted by Dr. Sharon Spano. Each episode explores the many complexities of our world that often disrupt our ability to live a meaningful, prosperous life. Join Sharon as she explores the art of being human and what it means to move beyond the daily pressures of performance and monetary success to a place of radical abundance.
Good morning, listeners. This is Dr. Sharon Spano, and welcome to The Other Side of Potential. Today, we have a very special guest, someone very special to me. Kevin Rose is his name, and Kevin is someone that I've worked with on several occasions for my own health and well-being. He is a manual therapist, having 26 years experience. He's logged over 40,000 hours of clinical practice, focusing on improving physiological structure and function. And he'll explain what that is and what he even means by manual therapist. He empowers individuals to achieve wellness, and he's a professional speaker, trainer, and he maintains a thriving bodywork practice. Kevin has also logged thousands of fieldwork hours in human-animal interaction studies. Combining this fieldwork with his extensive training in human psychology, and he created something called the Catalyst, a human-wild-animal interaction experience. And maybe we'll have to have him come back to tell us more about that, because that sounds pretty exciting. And it's an extraordinary approach to wellness and peace. So he's, you know, working with humans and animals, which I find quite interesting. The Catalyst, and it's spelled all initial caps C-A-T and then A-L-Y-S-T program, is offered free to combat veterans. So is it really for animals? I may be confused. So we're going to have Kevin tell us a little bit more about that. Sure. And then there's several links that we'll have in the show notes, and I'll explain by the end of the show. But listeners, what I really wanted you to have an opportunity to experience is Kevin's heart and his wisdom, because Kevin has recently been diagnosed with stage 4B adenocarcinoma. And it's totally transformed his way of thinking about healing, about health. And it's also brought him to a very deep spiritual level in his connection with God, which I think is very, very important. For those of you out there at this time of the year, any of you dealing with health or illness in yourselves or in your family, and I know that I've been there and you've heard me talk about it with respect to my own son and his 4 years of suffering, I feel like we need to hear from people like Kevin. I was able to spend last Friday with him after having been away in North Carolina, as you know, for 7 months. And coming home, I saw him right before I left. And then when I came back, this had all happened while I was away. So to see the transformation in him is not only inspiring, but it also gave me a different perspective on my own son's journey. So without any further hesitation, Kevin Rose, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and your healing process to be with us today.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for the platform. It makes all the difference in the world being able to share this. I'm really, really grateful to you for opening your show up to be able to listen to me. So,
off we go. I want to ask listeners to stay to the end, because part of my passion and desire to have you on board is grounded in the reality that you have taken a little bit of an alternative approach. And we have a campaign, Give, Send, Go campaign. And I want people to know that, you know, I'm really wanting people to be conscious in their giving towards you. I know that's a difficult ask for you. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the work that you do, because you have helped me so much as a cranial sacral therapist, and maybe explain a little bit about what you mean by manual therapist. And then we'll get into more of your story, because that's where we want to spend the most of the time today.
Excellent. So when I give the designation of manual therapist, I'm a licensed massage therapist, have been for 26 years. But in that career path, I have studied with so many wonderful teachers, a lot of them osteopaths and a lot of them old school osteopaths. Now, when I say that, an old school osteopath was a manual manipulator. So bones, structure, it was all about structure and function. If you improve the structure of something, the function will follow. And it's just that simple. And learning how we're connected takes us out of ignorance, and ignorance is not an insult. It just means lack of understanding. But for the most part, people don't understand how the body works. And so my job as a manual therapist is not only to inform how the body works, but also to show how the body works. And so when someone is on my table, my job is to educate. My job is to bring you into your body, present in the moment, because we tend to go into our heads and try to figure everything out. That's our design. And so manual therapy, the doctor that developed craniosacral therapy was an osteopath. And what he wanted to do is explain how the central nervous system affects the whole body. And so if we regulate the central nervous system, or if we help to balance the central nervous system, the whole body responds in kind. And so that's been my focus for the past 26 years, is just absolutely learning how the anatomy and physiology work. And so I've spent a lot of time studying that. I'm not an expert, but I have gained an incredible understanding about that. And in that, I've also learned how the emotional and the spiritual all come together to be a part of it, because we are given biological cues, all right? If I'm hungry, what do? I eat. If I'm thirsty, I drink. If I'm tired, I sleep. I don't hesitate with these things. I just simply respond. And the biological cue, it goes away, right? But it comes back. And so we respond the same way. We listen to the body and we respond. Now, stress is a totally different thing, because we're not taught that stress is also a biological cue. When I'm stressed, my body is reacting to something. And if I don't understand it, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the logical mind and try to figure it out. The challenge with that is that the logical mind will give us whatever answer it has in the moment. It could say, well, you're sick because you have a black toboggan on your head. There's no reason in that. But that's what the mind does. And so instead of reacting to stress in a way that we're trying to figure it out, really what I found the simplicity is listening to that biological cue, dropping down into wherever that stress is coming from, and simply just sitting with it. Because the body is asking us to just be present in the moment. That is what that pain stress cue is. Now, that's counterintuitive, because we want to brace against it. We want to push it away. But the body is asking us to do that. And so if we pop out into our heads, try to figure it out, the stress just increases. And so manual therapy really encompasses, in my opinion, not only the physical anatomical structure, but also the mental and spiritual side of understanding how all these systems work together. And so that's how I've approached the last 26 years of my practice.
It's so fascinating to me, because I was exposed to craniosacral work, as you know, many, many years ago. My son was younger. It had a big impact on him. And then I sought you out through your practice, Intentional Wellness, because I had a jaw that dislocated. And you totally like turned that around for me when I was terrified that I was never going to be able to eat again. But then one of the cues that you helped me lean into and recognize was that I was carrying a lot of my grief over my son in my jaw and in my throat. I'm always having issues with my throat. You know, we all know the throat is a huge part of who we are in terms of identity and expression and whatnot. But when you worked on me that one day, and I remember you asking me a question about my son, and I felt my jaw and you felt my jaw totally tightened. And then we talked through that. It was very, very powerful for me to recognize. And because we all know the body does, as the book says, keep score. And even though I had done extensive work around the grieving process, it was still, you know, showing up in the body by way of my jaw issues. Now, it's just like so hard for me to fathom. It's almost ironic, but yet even more impactful to think that someone who's dedicated their life to intentional wellness and the healing of so many would now find yourself ill. So maybe take us to, because again, when I left in May, I saw you right before I left for North Carolina. You were perfectly fine. Yes. And then I come back and you're ill. So this happened in August of this year. So maybe lean us into or take us into the story as much as you're comfortable sharing and what you've learned through this process that I know, you know, part of your passion is wanting to enlighten other people who may be on a similar journey.
Yeah. This part for me is emotional.
That's okay. Just take your time.
And I don't apologize for that. I spent many years, I grew up in the church, 56 years as a Southern Baptist, in church three or four times a week. But I never believed. I was always cynical. I was always skeptical. Never believed in the benevolence of God. Because if the planet around me wasn't benevolent, how could God be benevolent? And so in August 25th of this year, I did go from being totally healthy, doing better than I ever was in my life, to literally not having gross motor functions. It was like I was 100 years old. I couldn't operate. I couldn't do anything. And so I got the diagnosis. We had CT scans and blood work. And it turns out I had stage 4B adenocarcinoma, which is basically saying that I have metastasized tumors all over my body. And I do, from my head to my tailbone.
And you had no symptoms prior, which is just so amazing.
No, none at all. And just suddenly I was giving this diagnosis. And I'll have to say it has been the biggest blessing of my life. And I can say that without hesitation, because what it's done is it has given me the recognition that God is benevolent. And the reason I say that is because in the hospital, when I had the diagnosis, my wife and I were sitting in the room and listening to some music, and I fell into this meditation. It wasn't planned. It wasn't anything. But in that moment, God literally spoke to me and said, Kevin, you have nothing else to worry about from this point forward. Now, Sharon, I had gone to bed for the past 56 years with anxiety, some kind of worry, and woken up the same way. And ironically enough, I teach grounding, so we teach what we most need to learn. But from that point on, there were no more, I woke up with no more stress, with no more worries. And I find that incredible. And it was remarkable to me that I got to experience that. But what this experience has shown me is it's given me literally the experiential observation of what it's like to actually have this diagnosis and deal with the conventional medical system in this country. Mm-hmm. And in having that information, what it's shown me is how misdirected we are as the public. And I'll share a little, just one example of that with you. I had the opportunity to go to clinic, US-based clinic, but it's located in Mexico. And I was directed to go here by God. I'll make a side note here. God and I made a covenant. Mm-hmm. And he said, from this moment on, if you will follow me every moment in my decisions, then I will show you a path that will create a new paradigm in the healing process for many, many people. So how was I as a body worker? That was a deal I couldn't refuse. And so that's what I've tried to do. But what I've been able to see is when I was at Sanavive, which is the name of this clinic, I was given conventional and non-conventional approaches to help with the cancer diagnosis. And in that, I'll give you the results. The results at the end of my three-week treatment, which were 12 to 14 hours of intensive therapy. I'm listing all those on my Gibson Go campaign because I'm trying to be transparent with what I went through and with what I dealt with. But one of the main things was dealing with chemotherapy and radiation. Now, because the condition I have is inoperable, I was I was open to any kind of treatments, whatever these physicians said was good, I trusted because they were doing genetic testing to see what would affect me and what wouldn't. It was very scientific approach. The end result was that four tumors in my brain totally disappeared. I had one huge tumor in my left iliac spine, which is basically your pelvis. And that was spreading my pelvis and it disappeared. And 30 to 40% of all the other tumors reduced in size. Now, that's remarkable. Those results are remarkable. The real remarkable part, in my opinion, is that I never, ever suffered any side effects of chemotherapy or radiation. I was told that I would lose my hair. I was told that I would experience all these things through chemotherapy and radiation, which I never, ever did. And the reason I didn't was because there were countermeasures applied. And what I'd like to talk to you about today is just the countermeasure of something called hyperthermia treatment. For the chemotherapy, they did what's called a whole body hyperthermia treatment, where they put me in this tent, basically. It's an infrared sauna. They heat my body up over an 80-minute period of time to 104 degrees.
My
temperature is maintained there. Well, when they get the temperature maintained there, they begin to do the chemo drip. And what happens is cancer cells do not like oxygen and they do not like heat. And so when both of those things are applied, heat and oxygen, it makes the cancer cell malleable so that it can, so that it pulls in the chemotherapy and it actually utilizes the chemotherapy on that tumor, whether the tumor wants it or not. And what that does then is it stops the spread of the chemotherapy to other areas that create inflammation. Now, I'm pretty sure that everyone in this audience has either experienced chemotherapy or seen someone experience the effects of chemotherapy, and it can be devastating. And I watch people walk around in this country being literally eaten alive by chemotherapy, and it's not necessary. Same thing with radiation. In the radiation, they use something called a regional hyperthermic treatment. And what that is a, it's actually an electric nodule that takes wattage and converts it to kilojoule energy, which makes heat. And so they concentrate that heat into whatever area I'm receiving the radiation. Mine was in my head and then in my right lung where they believe it started. Now, the radiologist said, listen, you'll lose your hair, you won't lose your beard, because they made a mask for me when I would get the radiation. So I thought, well, I'm not going to lose my hair. I'm going to shave my head because I'm going to be in control here, right? And so I did. But within the second treatment, the radiation, I had five, my hair started to grow back. I had no side effects. None.
No vomiting or any of the stuff
nothing.
We always hear people.
That's nothing. I had no side effects whatsoever because of these treatments. That's the only variable that outstands. And here's the reason why I say that. When I came home, I was prescribed this chemotherapy pill. And I was told that I had to take a 2-week course and then a week off and 2 weeks on and a week off. And that was my course for this chemotherapy pill. So I took it for the first 2 weeks. And in that first 2 weeks, I was devastatingly fatigued. I was wiped out. I would get up and walk around for 15 minutes. I would have to take a 3-hour nap afterwards. It was crazy. I started losing my hair. I couldn't function the same way. So I finished this course, took the week off, started the course again, and I began developing lymphedema, which is fluid in my ankles. It was so painful to walk, and I could feel it developing. So I just stopped the course. I just said, I can't do this. My body is telling me, stop.
What you're saying is that the treatments that they did around the hypothermia and stuff was the game changer. And then once you came back and were just doing the pill, you experienced the side effects that we know most people experience.
That's correct.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I had no counterbalance for that. And I had asked the doctor, is there a counterbalance for this pill? And he said, no. So I said, well, I listen to my body. I advocate for myself. And that's really my message, is people have the opportunity to begin advocating for themselves, asking questions, doing some research. Things aren't always available in this country, which in my opinion is a crime. We pay these high insurance premiums for somebody to tell us where to put that money. And I'm here to advocate and say, you have to advocate for yourself. You have to listen to your own body. And I believe that this experience was given to me in order to have the ability to speak firsthand and how important it is for us to be able to stand up and say, no, the system is no longer working. I'm not smart enough to know how to do that. I'm not smart enough to know how to develop that, but there are people out there that are. And I'm hoping, praying that we can have the opportunity as a society to change this.
Yeah.
Because people are suffering unnecessarily.
Right. Well, and we have to do something because the way the healthcare costs are going with, right, you know, the results not being what they could be is insane. So I want to go back for a moment to your initial comments. And I want to acknowledge that I totally get your emotion around the conversation related to God, because that's about the only time I get emotional is when I think of how God carried me through my son's 4 years of critical mm-hmm. illness. And for anyone out there that might think you're a little whacked out or I'm a little whacked out, I want to validate that I too had God speak into my heart on more mm-hmm. than one occasion, particularly when Michael was dying. And what was revealed to me gave me such incredible peace, you know, not to say that I still didn't have sorrow and grief to deal with, but the peace that I received from the Lord was beyond anything I could have ever known or imagined. So I offer that to listeners to know that here are two reasonably logical, educated people who have had these experiences and know we're not crazy. You just have to listen and God shows up. And sometimes it takes, you know, a 2x4 for us to get to that place of quiet, you know, as you and I have experienced. So we have that commonality. Then the thing I want to make sure that for listeners, Sanovi is S-A-N-O-V-I.
S-A-N-O-V-I-V.
B-I-B. Okay. So we'll have that in the show notes as well. And I'm assuming there's many places like that that are different from the, you know, we used to hear about people going to Mexico and it was a lot of quackery and whatnot. But I love, and this is what the approach I always took with Michael was, it was alternative medicine with him combined with what I could access traditionally because I needed both due to the complexity of his illness. So I really love that idea. And I guess I could ask you for the sake of listeners why we don't have that here, but I think it's pretty obvious. Everything is FDA approved and it takes forever and ever and ever for us to get to. And plus our whole system, and I do want you to comment on this. In my mind, as I've experienced the medical system over 30 years in very deep ways around Michael's illness, the medical system is designed to treat symptoms, not cause.
Correct.
That to me is the biggest problem that we have. And people trust what they're being told without doing the research such as you've done. Comment on what you believe about just our whole philosophy on medicine here for a moment. And then I want to ask you some other questions if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most succinct comment I can make about this is that the chemotherapy business in this country is a $400 billion business. So if I can reduce that by 50%, I wonder who's going to be upset about that.
Right.
It's not going to be you and I.
Right. Right.
And so I think that's the crux of the matter. If someone remaining ill creates a profit, then it will remain that way. And it used to make me so angry, but I'm beginning to learn that my anger serves no purpose other than resolve to continue going forward. That's the only thing. But I don't want to be driven by that. I want to be driven by love. And so my approach now is how do we figure this out? There's people out there way smarter than me that can figure out how to approach this. And I'm hoping that this message touches base with that. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And I'm wondering, well, I'm assuming that you're going to need to go back down to Sanovi. I'm assuming that insurance doesn't cover anything down there. And that's why we have the campaign going on your behalf that, you know, your family and friends have started on your behalf, I should say. So what is the plan? I mean, we need to raise this money so that you can go back, right? And how, I guess the sooner you can go back, the better your chances, because you've had success and you need another round, or what are you expecting? Because I know you're also talking to oncologists up here who are willing to work with the people in Mexico. What is it looking like for you right now?
To be quite honest with you, I do not know. I'm given what I need to know at each moment.
Okay. So God's asking you to trust. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, God, listen, Santa Vive is incredibly expensive. I'm not going to mince any words about that. It is. And it is not necessarily covered by anything other than cash, right? Normally, money for me has this charge of fear. Mm-hmm. And when I started this process, God said to me, listen, if you'll trust me in this and build this campaign and begin educating people as I asked you, I'll provide. Okay. And Sharon, I have to tell you, within 1 week's period of time, my first trip was paid for.
Wow. Okay.
1 week's period of time. Now, he's also shown me that provision will come. And if I need to return, which I just don't know yet, we're going to do some updates on CT scans and blood work at the first of the year. And so we'll know more about, you know, what's next. The treatments that I received at Santa Vive, I was told, are progressive. So, you know, they carry on and continue to grow. And it's been remarkable because the changes I've watched in my body, things come and go. It is so bizarre, because this whole process has been bizarre to me. But I can see changes. I can feel changes. I notice when my diet changes that the effects on my body change. So the whole process is learning. So to answer your question, I'm not sure, but I'm almost positive I'll probably go back at the first of next year at some point for an 8-day program.
Okay. So here's what's interesting to me too, because I so listen and lean into where God sends me. And when I got back from North Carolina, I somehow, even though my jaw is not giving me the problems that it was giving me, but I came to you again because of some neck issues that I believe are related to the jaw. But I felt very compelled to go. And part of me logically was saying, you need to just wait till the first of the year. You don't have time for this. There's no need to go now. Blah, 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 blah. I almost canceled you literally like an hour before because my day was so tight. And yet when I got there and heard your story, I was like, oh, okay, this is why I'm here. Like God puts people in front of me. I mean, it is my work. I do the work that I do in ways that are different from yours, but yet very similar, because it's all about, there's a level of healing that is in my work. So I felt like, you know, I was put in your path for a reason. And that was confirmed, because when I got home, I felt very passionate about getting your message out on all my social media, which I don't ever do that. I hear about people's issues all the time around health issues and, you know, funds and whatnot. And I just, you know, I'm not one that feels, I mean, I will contribute, but I don't feel driven to help in the way I have with you. So I want to right now, I offer that to the listeners, because I really feel it is very important for you to get back down there. I really feel it's important for whatever reason for me to help in some way. And I really want listeners to understand the appeal here, because what it feels like to me is you've been called to a higher calling in your work, and that in order for you to do that work, you certainly want to get healthy as possible to be available. So the Give, Send, Go campaign, which I didn't even know about that platform, so thank you for that, is a spiritually Christian-based platform, which is cool, similar to GoFundMe, but with a Christian perspective. And the website, listeners, is givesendgo.com/God is my Sherpa. And when you do that, you'll pull up Kevin's story. He's got a wonderful video on there about his story. But I really want, I mean, just think if just 100 people donated, I mean, you're going to meet your goals. So we need people, and I'm sending you a donation today. And we need people to do that. So I really want to, you know, for those of you out there just wondering about, you know, what to do for the year end or whatever, It is never easy for someone who is going through something like this, and I know this from experience, to ask for help. And I know this is not an easy thing for you, but you have a 12-year-old daughter and a beautiful wife and many, many people like myself who need you to continue your work. And I do believe we can make some changes in the healthcare system, maybe not in our lifetime, but who knows? Who knows? So I commend you for being so brave and courageous and sharing your story. And I want to talk a little bit in the time we have left about the experience at Sanofi. I mean, you've given us a little bit about the, you know, what they offered you and what you went through from a medical perspective.
Right.
But I know it's in Rosarita Beach, and I'm imagining that they did other things around the mind body beyond the chemo that helped you move to where you are now. Is that accurate? And if so, can you share some of that with us?
Yes, it is accurate. You know, I've done a lot of work on my own throughout life, trying to process just hurt. And God gave me a very specific regimen. And that regimen was, first of all, I had to not only address my health, but after that, I had to address ancestral and generational healing. The next phase was to begin posting the treatments that I was receiving so that people could be educated. And that's what is part of the Gifts and Go campaign is for, is for people to go and have reference to things. And the third thing has been to begin understanding what cancer really is. And in this same meditation that I was talking about in the hospital where God told me not to worry, he also showed me a very, very, very clear projection of what cancer actually is. And it's not a virus. It's not a bacteria. What it is a mutation of a cell. And that mutation of a cell happens, what he showed me, was when we are full of disappointment, anger, and unresolved hurt. Now, he showed me this very clearly. And then through a discussion I was having with a friend of mine, he showed me biblically where this is located. And there is a story in Luke chapter 16. It's called Lazarus and the Rich Man. And in this story, he showed me how the rich man was stuck in this place and could not get out while Lazarus was on the other side looking in, and the rich man was begging for help, and there was a divide there. And that divide is created by how we isolate ourselves with anger and disappointment and frustration. And it was just so clear to me. And so part of the healing journey at Sanofi was recognizing how much hurt and disappointment and anger. And so my next informational video that I'm going to produce is going to be about that, my own experience with this, with the hurt and disappointment. And at Sanofi, it was so peaceful.
Yeah.
And so I was able to move through or at least recognize all these things coming up. And if nothing else, it provided such a healing environment that it allowed me to safely be able to go through this junk and look at it more clearly. Did I get resolution? Oh, of course not, not right away, but it gave me the space to do that. And it was actually health care. Everyone there was so caring and so attentive. And just that alone was incredibly healing. Did that answer your question?
Yes, very much so, because you and I haven't talked about this, but I think my listeners know that I do a lot of generational and ancestral work. Okay. And one of the modalities that I offer beyond the genogram is something called constellation work, which I'd love to do with you if you're open. It comes out of 70 years of research and practice. I was trained in Europe on this. And what you're saying really resonates. I was just this morning in prayer, because every client that I have, and I'm very concerned about where people are in this day and age, are dealing with depression, anxiety. I mean, and when we get into the ancestral work, and we do eventually a constellation, so much pain and suffering comes up for them. I mean, literally, they just weep and weep and weep because these are unresolved issues, again, that they're carrying in their body. And I did not know, and I thank you for the wisdom around this. You know, the mutation of a cell happens as a result of disappointment, anger, and unresolved hurt, which is a true testament for why we need to be healing from the inside out.
Yeah.
You know, spiritually, it's not just a, you know, talk therapy, but more and more of the research is telling us that it actually is re-traumatizing the body. Right. And the person. Okay. I mean, you're a healer, you know this. I mean, so that's just a really important thing to understand how we can't repress all of this. We have opportunities and there are ways to do it where you can go in and address the issues without re-traumatization. And my work, which is systems work, you know, we're looking at human systems. We do this work to settle down whatever was going on in the past so that healing and something new can emerge.
Yeah.
And I've seen tremendous results, you know, in my clients as a result of that work. So you really have just given me great hope in a completely different context than I ever really considered. And I thank you for that. And then the biblical connection, of course, we sometimes forget how it's all right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as we think of you moving into the new year, is there anything more you want to say around the issue of the fundraising and what needs to happen there? I think, wasn't there an actual fundraiser that's being offered? I thought I saw something in your office around a day of meditation or something. Did I miss that?
So part of this healing journey and the disappointment and the anger and the frustration for me came from the community that I quote unquote grew up in, that I'd worked with practitioners and I watched all of their faith in the human body go out the window during 2020. And that was heavy disappointment. And the ironic part of all of this is my experience with the community now coming back together and supporting this healing journey for me. And it's been so healing for my family. What you saw was one woman who did a sound bowl healing just as a measure to raise funds. And it's been remarkable, Sharon, just watching people come together and give. And I'm so grateful for that. So as far as the fundraising goes, I'm trusting God in that he's going to provide, you know, he'll have provision. And if someone is willing to give, my family and I are so appreciative of that. We've spent our lives, as you were talking about the animals, I spent over 20 years developing that program, 10 years of doing it for free. I've never, to my own detriment, I've never been concerned about money or anything like that. But asking for help is difficult as a person who works with others. You know, it's a difficult thing. But I would just say, if it's on your heart, my position is to help and to begin to show where we're being, I don't even know what to, hamstringed, you know, as a society and how the corporate structure is in control of this. Now, I want to be really clear, because in this, when I went through the conventional medicine approach here, all of the staff at the hospitals were incredibly nice. They were incredibly attentive.
Sure.
But you could see the stress of them trying to make timeframes and trying to make this and trying to make that.
It's just a stressful environment, period. Yes. Yeah.
And you can just see the load on them. I pray for them every day, because having to do that and trying to follow your passion must be incredibly frustrating. So back to the Gives and Go campaign, I just want to say that whatever $1, $5, whatever is there, and if it's available, it's so much appreciated and graciously accepted. And I'm hoping that my submissions to this blog post that I have on the Gives and Go will repay and at least educate to a certain extent and help people gain a better understanding, support themselves, support them, love their loved ones, begin to advocate for themselves, speak up, and check things out.
Yes, yes. And I want to, if you're comfortable, I'd like to offer what your goal is on this. Can I do that?
Of course.
It's on the website. Yeah. So Kevin, for listeners, he has a goal, a need for 250,000, and you're somewhere in the range of 74 right now, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
And so there's multiple trips to Santa Fe. I'm imagining that you've tabulated and calculated out. So we really do need this support. And I just really want to call on anyone out there who's listening or who's read, you know, I put it out on LinkedIn as well as Facebook, whatever, as Kevin said. So again, it's givesendgo.com/GodIsMySherpa. You can donate there. You can also access all of Kevin's writings and his updates for any of you that might need more information. And, you know, this show, as I told you, Kevin, we pivoted, I don't know what it is now, 3 months or 4 months ago, from more less business to more about what does it mean to be fully alive in today's complex, ever-changing world. And I think your story epitomizes what I had intended the show to be about, and that there's so much going on out there. People are carrying so much, whether it's a physical illness or just the stress of managing business and young families. And I mean, I about see it all on a daily basis. And I feel like to be fully alive, and in your case, we're talking literally, it takes a lot in today's complex world. You're maneuvering so many different systems, and the medical system, I know from experience, is not an easy one to maneuver. Yeah. So again, I thank you. And listeners, Kevin's business site is intentionalwellnesstherapy.com. You can visit there to learn more about his work. Again, we'll have several links on the show notes, but I wanted to call your attention to, he also has a TEDx in Wilmington, Can Tigers Tame Your Stress? It's a YouTube video. We'll have that in the show notes. Can you tell us a little bit about what your TEDx talk was about?
Yeah, it was just about the program I designed for combat veterans. I had done human interaction work before. I'd done with horses and dogs, and I was led to create this program for the combat veterans coming home after when the Second Gulf War started. But I knew that horses and dogs wouldn't do it. And I had access to a animal sanctuary where I had also access to tigers. And while we don't go in the cage with the tigers, we work through the fence. And what I do is I'll have the person think of something stressful, their stress rises, and they can watch the animal react to their stress.
Now, oh my gosh.
When the animal reacts to their stress, I teach them how to ground. And when they ground, they get to watch the animal settle down as well. Now we start with small animals, but we end up with in front of tigers, 400-pound tigers. And people that have been experiencing a level 10 stress when we started now experience no stress at the end, just from learning how to ground into their body and watching how their response to stress affects the environment. It's incredibly powerful.
That's amazing. I mean, it makes me think about our children, because I knew this with my son, that my son would, I always had to contain, which probably why I wound up with the jaw thing, as I told, when you asked me the question, why, I said, because I would control any need to cry so my son would not see me upset or think that he was burdensome or stressful to me, because I knew he would pick that up if he saw that, but he probably picked it up anyway, because he was far more intuitive than I could ever hope to be. But that is an incredible bit of work there. I think that would be really enlightening. So in the work with combat veterans, they were able to learn how to regulate their stress based on the feedback from the animals. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, it's remarkable, because our central nervous system is and I'm generalizing this. Yeah. The autonomic nervous system is the parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest, which allows us to come back down. The sympathetic is totally allocated to stress. And so if we're in a situation where that sympathetic nervous system gets ramped up, it's very difficult to bring it back down if you don't know how to do that. And so what this program does was it just taught them how to bring it back down. That's all. Just taught them how to bring that biological cue of stress and turn it back down simply by applying a grounding technique. And it truly is that simple. I mean, it's not easy. It requires diligence and playing with, but it's also incredibly effective.
Okay.
And I've watched combat veterans, literally one gentleman who was a Vietnam veteran and had suffered with this for 50 years, depression and all that, because of this, I watched him change in 90 minutes time. Literally, it is amazing because God's design is so simple.
Were you able to, because I'm imagining your own daughter at 12 and watching you go through all this. Yeah. I mean, have you taught her some of these ways of handling her own stress through this?
Of course. Yeah. And I'm laughing because my wife and I have raised her intentionally.
Yeah.
We split from the moment she was born, we split our schedules in half so that I was with her 3.5 days and my wife was with her 3.5 days. And as I was developing this program, I wore a baby Bjorn and she spent so much time with me at the foundation that she, I guess, really took this on. But watching her be able to ground herself and learning that has been the biggest joy in my life.
Oh, yeah. And she seems like a beautiful young girl. Yeah. Well, I will have you and your family in prayer. One last very, very hard question, because I think listeners need to hear this.
Of course.
If you don't get the money to go back to Santa Fe, what happens?
I don't even think that's a possibility. God has shown me provision. Yeah. And he's given me promises. As a matter of fact, I'll share with you really quickly. I've gotten a lot of clear direction since it began. And one of the things that was so clear to me and given to me the other day was, listen, you need to approach this. And this is directly from God. You need to approach this as I am healed. Now, I don't know what healed means. I don't have any definition for that.
Right.
You need to approach this as I am healed, because my word says, you will be healed. And so if you approach it from that perspective, that's the way it is. And that shows your faith in me. And so I don't even have the thought process that provision won't come.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for redirecting me on that. And I think listeners need to hear that more than anything else.
Yeah.
And I have a vision as you're saying that for future teachings. And there's lots of ways that I know that your teachings can get out beyond this website here and make that difference that you want. So when you get back from Santa Fe, we will reconnect and figure out how to make that happen, because you have so much to offer the world. And I'm just grateful that our paths have crossed.
Me too.
And I'm here for you in any way that I can be. And I'm just honored that you were on the show today. And thank you so much for being here.
Well, again, thanks so much for the willingness and the platform. It means so much that someone like you would take the time to allow me this space and this privilege to share with your listeners. And I am so grateful to you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, listeners, I don't think there's much more that I need to say. You know what this show is about. We're always looking at the other side of potential. And sometimes that other side comes to us in ways we can't even imagine. And I think Kevin has inspired us today to know that even when we're in, and I say this every week, no matter what the challenge is, no matter how big, no matter how small, they're intended to bring you to the other side of potential. And he really exemplifies that in a way I have not seen before. So I offer this to you as we move into the year end. Kevin will be in my prayers, as will all of you who listen, and just have a great holiday season to the best of your ability and stay healthy and well. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Other Side of Potential podcast. Please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform so we can continue bringing you cutting-edge interviews and research on how to live your biggest life. For information on how to work directly with Dr. Spano, visit SharonSpano.com to schedule a complimentary consultation.